We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just a wedding planner, tearing it up. Listen, learn,
plan that wedding.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. I am your host, and thank you for joining us. My name is Michelle Martinez. Welcome, welcome to yet another episode of who knows how many. We'll just keep going on and on until I just have no more voice anymore. I mean, I don't know. Who knows when it'll end? But I'm enjoying the ride so far. So let's keep on going and dive into this topic. Okay, rehearsals. Ceremony rehearsals. There are people out there on the fence as to whether or not to have a rehearsal. Last week's episode with Jamie Woofer, which I know a lot of you enjoyed because I heard from you. That was so fun, by the way. Was all about unpopular wedding opinions. Like the entire episode was about unpopular wedding opinions. And if you did not listen to it, go back and listen to episode number 317 with Jamie Woofer. It was super fun. But anyway, getting back to this. Not holding a wedding rehearsal is another unpopular wedding opinion. And Mark Allen Grillo, who is my guest on this episode, who is fabulous, by the way, like a brilliant wedding officiant, or in other parts of the world, they're called wedding celebrants. That's right. I've learned that from Mark. Thank you very much, Mark. Mark has been on the show several times now. He's a buddy, you know? He is a friend of the pod for sure. I would say, Mark, you're one of our BFFs. Yeah, you are. Mark and I do catch-up calls every once in a while just to see how we're doing, how's it going. You know, it's important to do that. And we were talking about rehearsals, and we were both pretty surprised that in our respective careers, I have had clients over the years say, you know what, Michelle, we're not going to need a rehearsal. You know, the ceremony is going to be like super short. It's going to be like 15 minutes. Like there's no need for us to rehearse. And as a wedding planner, it is my responsibility to educate my clients on all things wedding. And rehearsals are one of those important steps. And Mark, you know, in turn has had a lot of the officiants that he trains, you know, say to him, or he's seen this opinion, you know, in social media from other officiants or celebrants, that they don't need to do a rehearsal. And we're just like, what? Excuse me? What? So this is going to be a very informative episode for you. Listen, you can always do you. We always say that, like, you do what's important to you. But here are two wedding professionals telling you that we feel that rehearsing is something not to be overlooked and certainly not to be skipped. And so I hope you enjoy this episode. And please share it with anyone you think that would benefit from it. And I would love your feedback. So email me, call me, or DM me on Instagram, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, 415-723-1625, @thebigweddingplanningpodcast on Instagram. And that is it. Love you, love your show.
Okay, my name is Mark Allen Grillo. I am the founder of Unboring Wedding, and I am just thrilled to be here. I train officiants all over the world, first time leading edge officiants, not just how to do okay, but how to absolutely ace a wedding ceremony, all components of the ceremony, tell the love story, just be in full control. And the results are amazing. Even first timers absolutely crush it. And so that's what I do. I absolutely love it. And I'm thrilled to be on.
Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
Again, what is this like? Is this got to be your third or fourth time?
I think this is TV, the third, WPP? Yeah.
It's the third? Okay. All right. Cool. Well,
The second time was I was interviewing you guys about the launch
about the masterclass.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. So Mark is part of the inspiration behind the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass because you started your digital course years ago now.
Yeah.
And you first contacted us about it and we're like, oh, that is such a good idea. Because so many of our clients ask friends or family to be the officiant.
Yep.
And then, of course, I got a lot of shit from that episode when you first came on because people didn't like the way I said efficient or officiant or however the hell you're supposed to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're not going to do that. We're not going to go there. I don't want to.
Which is why it's called Unboring Wedding Academy now. So if I inspired you to do the masterclass, you inspired me to stop making people say officiant.
Was that why you changed the name? Did I know this?
Also because there was a versatility problem, like in Australia and other places that buy the course, they only say celebrant, right? So that was, I didn't want to limit it. But at least 50% of it was based on how Michelle could not say the word officiant.
Well, you're welcome, Mark.
According to some, I think it could be either way.
I do too.
It's a dialect thing. And you're from the Valley, right?
No. I am not from the Valley.
I've heard you a couple times say, I sound like such a Valley girl.
I sound like a Valley girl.
Okay.
I'm from California. And I guess a lot of Californians, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. Okay. I don't read a lot. I can't read for leisure. It makes me fall asleep. Clearly, I say efficient wrong.
I just heard that on the previous episode with the author. You noted yourself and said, I can't read. And then you said, no, I can read anyway.
Because before we've said that, Christy thought it was funny. Oh, Michelle can't read. I can read. I just fall asleep.
Okay. Yeah.
And this is before I was old. This has been happening all my life. It's not like because I'm an old lady. Anyway, that's not what this episode is about, Mark. Gee, this guy gets me off subject.
Let's not start over. Let's keep going.
let's just roll with it. Yeah. You know, this is what happens when you don't rehearse. Okay.
Oh, segue.
Damn. Look at that. Who's the pro now?
Yeah. Well, the one wearing the headphones, obviously.
Correct. So yes, Mark Grillo. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
I was Mark. I'm not gonna say the other word.
It's mostly right.
I used to say
Grillo. You're really Frenchifying it when you say Grillo.
I used to say Grillo.
Grillo. Like the candy.
Like Grillo. Grillo. Yeah, Grillo. Yeah, Grillo. Grillo. What up, Grillo? Okay. Yeah. Mark Allen Grillo.
Yeah.
By the way, was Alan your middle name or is this part of your first name?
It's my middle name.
Why do you say your middle name? I'm just curious. Have you always said your middle name?
No, not only when I started the business.
Do you know what my middle name is?
Hmm.
Why would you know what my middle name is? It's an awful middle name. Have you said this in all the hundreds of episodes? I don't know if I've ever said it, but I'm going to say it because you say your middle name and I think that's funny. What?
Caitlin.
No, that would sound weird with Michelle. Okay. I don't know. So my middle name is...
Here it is.
Annette.
Okay.
Terrible. Anybody out there named Annette, I'm not saying that's a bad first name, but I feel like it's just like I was born in the 70s. My mom was like, oh, I like French names.
Speaking of French, yeah.
But that was cool back then, you know, the French. So I'm Michelle Annette, and my sister is Jennifer Lynette.
Whoa.
Okay. Isn't that Isn't that just so cringy? It's like cringy to me. So no, I don't.
You don't use it. You don't use it. No. Okay.
No. Anyway. How did we get on?
That was a huge reveal. I feel like that should be the title of the video, the episode, the podcast, whatever this is going to be.
Yeah.
It should be Michelle reveals her middle name.
Michelle, that's the title. No, it's early in the morning and I've already revealed so much. It's a great day. It's going to be a good day. So let's just.
I think that's all the time we have.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening and goodbye. Happy planning. No. So Mark and I had this catch up call. What is it? Last week, the week before, I don't know how long it's been. Whatever. I have a bad memory. But anyway, I was like, yo, let's catch up. Let's talk. What's going on? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I was talking about TikTok and I'm like, are you on TikTok? And you're like, nah, you know, I'm not trying to do that. I don't know. Have you since changed your mind? Are you
going
to
go on TikTok? No, I'm going all in on Instagram.
You're going all in on Instagram. Okay. And you are, your reels are really good, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
But I saw, you know, there's this whole trend of unpopular wedding opinions.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But this one in particular kind of set me off.
Mm-hmm.
It was a TikTok that was recycled on Instagram. And it was by another wedding podcast that's pretty popular. Most of you who are listening have probably know this podcast. I'm not going to say who it is. And I've talked about it before, but it's another wedding podcast that is very popular. And the host of this podcast went on TikTok and did an unpopular wedding opinion all about how wedding rehearsals are not necessary, on how you should skip the wedding rehearsal. And this host is someone who is not a wedding industry professional. As far as I know, has never worked in the wedding industry, unless I'm wrong, could be. But this host did, you know, not too long ago get married. So there is that element of some personal experience. However, experience does not make you an expert.
And this came up in our conversation because you mentioned that, and I haven't seen that particular TikTok, but I don't know.
I should have sent it to you.
This zeitgeist, because I follow a lot of officiants, and I've seen officiants now pop up on my Instagram and stuff saying like little cute videos. Here's the five reasons why you don't need a rehearsal or why rehearsals are overrated. And I'm like, of all people, officiants are saying this? I just think it's a huge mistake. So I am worried that, yes, that unduly influences couples who now think this is the in thing to do, like certain colors in their bouquet or something, but it has such ramifications on the day that I think you and I want to tap the brakes on. I told you, I think it's going to become your unpopular wedding opinion. That's how we should brand that. Because if that's the unpopular wedding opinion, then you need to, we need to unpopularly give our opinion about the unpopular wedding opinion, because I think it's bad.
Right. Our opinion about the unpopular opinion.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you understand this?
It may or may not be unpopular.
Are you with me?
I've been watching too much Marvel, I think. It makes sense with the meta and the timelines. But anyway.
Okay. Maybe. I don't do that stuff. But okay. So I want to start off by saying that, and I've been saying this for years, too many people brush over the ceremony. Too many people focus, or rather don't focus enough on the ceremony. I, you know, design is a huge one. It's the elements of design, you know, the flow of the wedding day. Holy shit. We talk about it all the time. There's so many parts of the wedding that last longer, right? The wedding itself, that we tend to put our focus on that because there's so much to do. But the whole reason you're having a damn wedding is because you're getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose to make the ceremony part of your wedding day, which some people don't, some people just go do it privately, you know, sign the friggin' document, whatever. But if you're going to have a ceremony and have people watch it, it's super important. It is. I mean, you could talk to this, Mark. What is a ceremony to you? What does this signify?
Oh, well, I always say, and I don't make much, I don't go on and on about it, but after I tell the couple's story, we laugh, we cry, and all that, I say, we are all here today because of the promises that are about to happen. You know, you might be religious, you might be non-religious, there might be all kinds of aspects you can bring to it, but really, I think what makes today so impactful, the dinners, the games, the drinks, it's because we got these two people who are saying to each other, I'm gonna be the person who is always here for you. That's huge. To me, the whole day, that's what we're celebrating. Whether you're religious or not, that's sacred. Two human beings doing that and saying that to each other.
Yeah,
So it doesn't mean it needs to be a drag. But like you say, if you're going to put all this pomp and circumstance and ceremony into it, let's make sure that goes as well as all the other parts of the day, at the very least.
100%. And there's so many elements to a ceremony, including having your wedding party, right? That your honored attendants who are standing next to you, having someone do a reading, a performance during the ceremony, seating your immediate family in very special seating right up front. You know, it's important, and there are logistics involved, and yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of reasons that we need to rehearse it real quick.
Well, so can I ask you, like, what, because again, I didn't see this particular viral one, but I saw what officiants were saying in my feeds. Like, what were the reasons? What is a good reason for not having a rehearsal? What is the argument being put out there?
That it's just totally unnecessary. First of all, it's boring.
Okay. I'm all about unboring. And
yeah, that's the name of literally the name of your.
Yes, I disagree with that. Yeah. Again, a lot of times these, like, you're killing something because you've only seen it done a bad way or a certain way or something. So you're just like, it's the classic throw out the baby with the bathwater. Instead of saying, how do we make this better? Let's just not do it at all. I don't know. I've never thought that about a particularly bad dinner I've had. You know, I'm not gonna not have dinner tomorrow night. I'm just gonna do it better.
Exactly. Yeah. It takes too much time. Another argument is like, it just takes too much time.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
It's lame.
Boring and lame. There was like a list in the officiants that I saw. One of them was, it's, you don't want to spend money on that. You don't want to spend money the night before on getting people together. And other officiants just saying, I got this. I got you. You don't need to rehearse because I got you. So that's what I've heard.
Well, so when they say not spend money on it, is that because they charge extra to do a rehearsal for these couples?
So what I saw was like twofold. A lot of officiants charge extra. I don't, because I want the couple to opt out of the rehearsal, not opt in. But also the sense of, like, you're going to have to buy your people drinks and food, and you're going to have a little soiree after the rehearsal, which...
Wait. Did you say you want people to opt out of the rehearsal?
Yeah. In the sense of, like, if you don't want a rehearsal, like 99% of my couples don't, but I want you to have to tell me, Mark, we don't want a rehearsal. We've paid for it. Like, it's an opt-out thing, not an opt-in thing. Not saying, if you want a rehearsal, it's going to be an extra $200. We don't need to have it. I want it to be part of the package, part of the expectation. I want it to be the default setting when you hire me. And if you really don't want one, you're pulling out, rather than saying, Mark, can we punch our ticket and pay extra and please have a rehearsal?
That drives me nuts, by the way. It's very, very few in the 20 years I've been planning weddings that my clients have said, oh, well, my officiant actually charges if we do a rehearsal. Should we do it? I'm like, what the? That should be included.
Yeah, I think so.
And sometimes the venue will charge for you to come in and do the rehearsal. But like my very good friend Christy has said, and we've quoted her on this, if you can get six chairs and an empty room, we can rehearse.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I have sympathy for that, of the venue, but I have had a rehearsal in every kind of setting you can imagine. Restaurant, dining rooms before the rehearsal dinner, condo hallways where we're all crammed in between the elevators, you know, Toronto condos, city parks. It can be just get your people together. And I think that's what we want to talk about, is really give a sense of like all the reasons why you should have a rehearsal. That's our unpopular opinion.
And the other thing that this person said on this TikTok was like, just skip the rehearsal and go straight to the rehearsal dinner. Mm. That's where you should spend your money and your time, is the rehearsal dinner. Mm. Well, that's a totally different thing.
It's called a rehearsal dinner, though. I like that.
but call it a rehearsal dinner.
Let's draw attention to the thing we precisely did not do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So where should we start here?
I think a good old-fashioned, almost listicle of like why you should have a rehearsal. I mean, if this is going to be something that couples now think is chic or in, to skip the rehearsal, as an officiant who stands there every weekend and watches a ceremony happen and watches wedding parties come down the aisle, and you know, I know all the benefits. I know why I do it. It would be a lot easier for me to just. I think that's the thing. Like when officiants starts disseminating this, I can see why. If they can charge the same prices, not have to be anywhere the night before, it's better for them. But it's so much better on the wedding day for everyone if there's a rehearsal. For the following reasons, colon.
Well, let me just say, as a wedding planner, as a human who has a social life, it's really not my wish or my ideal to go spend a Friday night with like 30 people I don't know, trying to give them directions and, you know, move things along. I mean, it's not my goal in life. Okay. So let's just say that right off the bat. Mark and I are not saying a rehearsal is necessary because we want to hang out with these people.
What's your agenda? What's your agenda here?
What's your agenda here?
What's your angle?
And I don't charge extra for a rehearsal, nor does Mark, because it's necessary. Mm-hmm. And let's look at the positives of a rehearsal. One, it does actually kick off the festivities. Yeah. You know, I have seen, and you've probably experienced this, there's a certain like surprising, like, oh my God, this is like really exciting right now.
I love
like,
it.
This is so exciting. Like when you actually start like, oh, hi, Aunt Sally. Oh my God. Yeah, I know, I'm getting married tomorrow. Oh my God. Yeah, like, this is where we're going to do it. Oh, I know. Isn't it beautiful? This place is amazing. Okay. So here's where you're going to walk from. I mean, it's exciting. It really like puts you in the mood, like, holy shit, this is happening.
Yeah. Everybody's arriving from, maybe they haven't seen each other in years. There's hugs, there's introductions to the little kids or whatever. It's so cool to have everybody in that setting, in their jeans or whatever, you know, more relaxed than anybody's going to be on the wedding day until 9 o'clock at night when the dance starts. 24 hours before that, when you're all hanging out, and I just watch this, like you, 30 people I don't know, but I'm watching these connections and the highs and the hugs, and that alone is worth having, which I think is why some people are saying have the rehearsal dinner without the rehearsal. And that's just coming from the deep scars of, I've been a groomsman in super, super shitty rehearsals. And I get it. You don't know when you're leaving. You don't know how long. It's totally disorganized. You feel like a captive. But that feeling of when people are all arriving on site, it's really magic. And yes, I feel like it's the official kickoff of the rehearsal, which is why when I start off a rehearsal, we might talk about this, who starts the rehearsal? But when I start off the rehearsal, I like to say that. I like to say, here we are, let's officially kick this off. You know, Sam and Tim are getting married. Everybody cheers, claps. And that to me is like the kickoff of the weekend. It starts then.
Yeah. And you're right. That's exciting.
Brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
But you know, Mark, you make a good point in that you've been to a lot of shitty rehearsals.
Oh, everybody and, has. And that's where this is coming from.
Yeah. I mean, and I mean, I sympathize with those of you who, out there who have experienced it. It could have been like a church lady. Mm-hmm. It could have been, you know, an officiant who's just like really boring, a wedding planner who thinks the world revolves around him or her. So I get it. I get it.
The ones that go on and on and on. I mean, I've been a groomsman at a rehearsal where like the couple and the minister clearly didn't talk about this. They're making all the decisions like while the rest of us watch and they're having the meeting they should have had 6 weeks ago at 6 o'clock when they told the rest of us to show up. Like things like that don't make sense. And so I have a lot of sympathy with like the rehearsal shouldn't suck. I don't get, so let's not have one at all. To me, that's the overcorrection that's going to lead to a lot of problems on the wedding day.
Totally. Totally. Okay. So it kicks off the festivities. Hopefully you've got someone who's a wedding planner and officiant, who's a good team. Maybe they might argue who starts the rehearsal. I don't know. Usually I wrangle people and then I turn it over to the officiant, but Mark says he does the opposite. Clearly we're in two different countries, Mark. So.
Well, and it's funny because we're talking about people who are saying jettison the rehearsal because I've had really bad experiences with rehearsals. In Unboring Wedding Academy, I'm teaching a lot of time first time officiants. And I say wedding planners are our best ally on the wedding day. And they can also completely steamroll you if they think you're going to suck. Like wedding planners are coming at every wedding with all the other hundreds of weddings and bad experiences behind them. And so I think when a wedding planner shows up, they are advocating for the couple. They want everything to go perfectly, everything to go smoothly. You know, it takes a certain kind of type A organized person. And so when I was starting as an officiant before I was well known, that's the great thing about officiating for a long time, is soon like you've met every planner and they all know how you do it. But when you show up and they don't know, they don't know if you suck. Like, how do you convey to a wedding planner that I'm not one of the officiants who doesn't know what they're going to do? And so I just say in my planning, in my course, when you show up at the rehearsal, approach the planner and really signal to them that you know what you're going to do. And so I know a lot of your audience is, you know, brides and grooms. And so I think brides and grooms, like we should advise them to at least kind of, I don't know, facilitate this idea that, you know, if you're going to have a rehearsal, how do you make sure, can you advise your officiant, especially if it's a friend or family member, to kind of have it together and signal to the planner that they know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? I just think there's that moment when the planner and the officiant show up on site, that you're like sussing each other out.
Yeah. Well, yes, the couple should definitely introduce the officiant to the planner. I mean, as a planner, and I don't know what planners you're working with, but like I am in contact on the phone and email with the officiant ahead of the wedding. Okay. And I always have a phone call, usually the week of the wedding, with the officiant. Like I get on the phone, I'm like, hey, good to talk to you in person. So tell me, how do you like to run rehearsals?
Okay.
And we actually kind of have a little bit of a game plan beforehand. And I know that I can sense, and this is such a good point, I can sense when the officiant is like, I don't really give a shit, or like, oh no, I have a soup. Like I know I have like a whole thing that I do. Here's how it goes, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, cool. I feel confident.
This is the first time in all my years of doing this and teaching this that I've heard of a planner calling the officiant ahead of time.
Are you freaking kidding me?
That's why you are the queen of wedding podcasts, I guess. I usually get like a, I don't know, a cut sheet, a little like, here's your thing. Please confirm you're going to be there. But the sussing out happens when you arrive on site. I mean, that would be hugely helpful if that was a regular practice, what you just described.
Crazy,
but that's
pants.
Never happened to me, and I've never heard of it done.
Well, pop my collar. Okay.
Yeah, you should.
All right. So anyway, so
that would prevent a lot of these problems. And I wonder
totally.
If couples who are listening to this could somehow ask their planner about that.
They should. Yeah, 100%. I mean, they shouldn't even have to do that. That's really kind of silly. Like a planner, I understand confirmation emails, but like there's phone calls that need to be made. And I get it in this in this time that we live in the world, people don't really like picking up the phone and calling people, but like email and be like, hey, can we set a time next week? Have a quick 20 minute chat. Boom. Do it, planners.
Efficients, pick up the phone.
Efficients also. Hey.
Passively wait for that call.
Hey, planner, can we talk for 20 minutes? Cool. Okay. Secondly, we have here on our little outline, people become a team. And that's what we're talking about right now. Whether it's your wedding planning professionals that you've hired, specifically your officiant. Oftentimes, whoever is playing music for the ceremony could be there at the rehearsal, taking cues. You might have ushers or people assisting your guests to be seated. That needs to be sorted out. And so all of these people become a team, including the couple, the marriers, and their wedding party, their VIPs.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing that I emphasize when I gather everybody together at the beginning. We are team Sam and Tim. It's happening now. And I reiterate that when we're at the back of the room about to go in on the wedding day. But again, I think without a rehearsal, when do you get that sense? When do people feel like we are officially team so-and-so? And I really believe in the power of words. Like when you say something, it becomes so. And so whether you're a planner, whether you're officiant, this happens at the rehearsal. And if it doesn't happen at the rehearsal, there's no other point on the wedding day where everyone's together like that. Typically one party's off with their, one member of the couple's off with their party and the other couple. And it's only like minutes before that maybe you're all lined up together at the back of the room. And by then it's you've squandered, I think, this sense of like this weekend is all about these two marriers. And we are here as a team for them. That is so intangible that again, to lose that, to not have a rehearsal, you've just squandered that opportunity.
100%. Another one we have in here is social anxiety. And this is something I hear about on the podcast a lot from my listeners. There are a lot of people out there who have anxiety in general, specifically social anxiety, being around a lot of people. You know, the couple, the marriers themselves could, you know, have this. I was just talking to someone yesterday who I was interviewing. You know, the couple don't like a lot of attention. Or, you know, what anxiety is very much is kind of living in the future, right? The unknown, the fear. And so knowing exactly what's going to go down the next day, being prepared, even people in your wedding party, you might have, I've talked to couples with, you know, a sibling who has special needs, all of these special circumstances are very much not cured. That's not the right word, but they're put at more ease. By having a rehearsal of the ceremony, by knowing what to expect, where to be the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always say you can always tell a wedding that's unrehearsed because people, like when they're walking down the aisle, the eyes are wider and the eyeballs are moving a lot more. Like it's like a plane approaching the runway. They're like scanning for where they're supposed to go or stand. And I just think that's really sad because you want to be focused on enjoying the people, enjoying the moment, enjoying your own role, walking down the aisle or where, whatever you got to do without thinking, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? That again, you're just wasting what could be. And as a person who's standing up there watching the whole thing, I have seen a marked difference of the rare time when somebody has said, let's not have a rehearsal or for whatever reason, they couldn't have a rehearsal. You just see that tension and man, yeah, if you just are the kind of person where you have more social anxiety, it would just be exacerbated by that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a big one. And I think that's one that a lot of people don't think about. And if you're not a person who suffers from those, from anxiety or whatever it is, there might be people in your wedding party that do. And so it's just a good idea for everybody to know what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, other things, you know, your parents, you know, up until this point, they may or may not have been a big part of the planning process. Well, now They're going to see how it's all coming together, and they're going to know how they're being honored at the ceremony, right? Mm. Who's ushering them in? You might have talked to your parents already about this, but like, there's also last minute changes that happen on the rehearsal, right? As a result of rehearsing it. You know what? I actually feel like I'd rather walk in on my own. Can we just change that?
Mm, that's right.
You know, what other things have you seen? Have you ever seen?
I was going to ask you, because you're talking about the parents. Has it been your experience? Because it certainly has been mine when, you know, let's say dad is walking bride down the aisle, like he starts to tear up in the rehearsal. My daughter's nine, but I can imagine, like, you get more than one run at this really weighty, beautiful moment. I just really love that. And I like to emphasize, like, this is just as meaningful as tomorrow, you know, like when they're embarrassed, I'm crying, and you're just like, no, this is a good response. So I always love that we get it, you know, it's going to happen once on the wedding day, but I always do like a first time disaster walkthrough and then a quick redo in the rehearsal. And so that's two other times for a total of three that you get to bask in that moment. And I really love when I see emotions happen in the rehearsal, because once again, you're like, it's practicing, but that doesn't mean it's fake. Like, this is something that we are really doing together, and it's super meaningful. So I also love that you see parents and grandparents getting all of friends are crying, and it's just the rehearsal. That's actually a beautiful thing.
Yeah, what a great point, Mark, actually, that a lot of people don't really think about. There are moments that happen very raw and very organically that are captured at rehearsals. Yeah. I've had photographers there as well. Yeah. Or just like a friend or family member with their phone taking video. And just, you know, kind of pro tip, you know, couples listening, hand your phone to a friend or family member at the rehearsal on the wedding day too, but hand somebody your phone that's there and not necessarily like participating fully in the rehearsal. Because you're going to want to see these moments, and you know, there's going to be some awesome photos and video on there of the rehearsal.
Yep.
It's an experience.
Yeah. So I think, well, just all those things. I mean, whatever list there are, the cost and the inconvenience, I just feel like that's so eclipsed by the little sketch we just put out there.
Yeah. And let's talk about time. How long? Okay. Because some people might be like, oh my God, it's going to take forever. How long are your rehearsals from start to finish on average, Mark?
Well, and that's what I would say. Like, a really actionable thing is for the couple to ask that question, just so that that's to me the litmus test of, does your officiant know what they're doing? If somebody asked me that, I would say 35, 40 minutes at the absolute max. And I always say that's depending on how well behaved you are. So I run it in three parts. I do that huddle at first. Come on, gather around, everybody. That's where I say, you know, they're getting married. Everybody cheer. We are team marriers. And then I say, here's what's going to happen over the next half an hour or so, depending on how well behaved you are. And that gets a little chuckle. And so that's where I say, I'm going to talk it through right now. We're going to go through the script because you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. That's what makes rehearsals so bad. And again, this reaction against bad rehearsals, I feel like it's like the parallel would be a business meeting that you never know is going to end. I think we've all been in this circumstance. I hate it when I'm taking a class or I'm in a meeting and the host or the teacher, the boss has not told us like when we're going to be done here. You're like, is this going to be 15 minutes or 3 hours? You have no idea. So your question is so, so prescient, because it's like, I say to everybody, 30 minutes. Then they're like, okay, we have a goal. We know it's not going to be excruciating. This officiant has a plan. So we talk it through. Then we walk it through. Like I say, it's a hot mess. And I tell them it's going to be. And then we do a redo in like 3.5 minutes. And everyone's like, okay, I feel really good. So I always tell the couple in our planning session, if you've got dinner reservations or there's pizza coming or whatever at 7, let's meet at 6 if it's nearby. And man, that motivates everybody to listen up and get this thing done. It doesn't have to be any longer than 35, 40 minutes.
That's awesome. That's such a great idea. I've in my experience, they've been an hour. But I like your point, and because it depends on how well everybody's behaved. And if at the beginning you tell them, hey, Let's be done with this in 40 minutes. What do you guys say? You want to do that? Then that's going to get them to focus, because that's what it's, if anything takes a long time, it's because the people there are not paying attention. They want to, laugh.
And that's a coping mechanism in a way. Like when people aren't paying it, they're like, we got to make this fun because damn, it sucks.
Right.
Well, when it's actually fun, like it's like a class. If the teacher up there is blah, 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 the professor, you're going to make your own fun by doodling or doing something on your phone. But if it's engaging, you're going to pay attention. That's more efficient. And so I really think rehearsals can and should be efficient and fun. I almost said efficient and fun.
Yeah, I'm like, that's how I say efficient.
You say efficient, like, okay.
Like efficient.
I did that for you. I did that
efficient.
For you. Yeah.
You just got totally threw me off again. The sucky thing for me, or I shouldn't say a sucky thing, but one of the things, well, yeah, it's kind of sucky. You know, dad jokes.
Yeah.
Right. There's always, and you're a dad.
Oh yeah.
Sure you make dad jokes, but there's something, and my dad did this at my wedding and I'll never forget it. It it's still to this day. I identify it in other dads and I look at a daughter and I'm like, I know, girl, I know. Something happens with certain dads or even friends or personality types where they see the person getting married, that is their daughter or son, acting very serious. Like, I want to get this done. I'm being serious. Let's figure this out. And dad feels the need to just start with the joking. Oh, you know, what my little girl right here. How much is this costing me? Ha 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 ha. You know, or like making these freaking jokes, these things that distract you.
Yeah.
Or they want to distract you because they see you in some serious state and they want to pull you out of it. And that's all they can focus on when you're like, no. We want to get the rehearsal done. We want to get out of here. We want to go have dinner.
Are they making these jokes to you, the dads? Typically?
Sometimes. No. I see them doing it to their daughter.
Okay.
Or the mom. Hmm. The minute, there's some people that can't handle when someone close to them is too serious at a moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you've ever seen this or experienced or noticed it. Maybe you haven't. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, that's why I was asking if it's to you, because I know like men and women have very different experiences based on who the person is. I don't know. I don't see that.
I mean, I've seen it happen. I've experienced it, but I don't care. But I see it happening to usually one of the two people getting married.
Yeah.
And they're just like trying to be serious and get this done. Maybe they're a little stressed and maybe someone's trying to break that stress by making a joke or distracting them.
Yeah. It's like the discomfort with the seriousness of what's going on. You just feel like compunction to break it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. There you go.
Being comfortable with intense levels of emotion is a learned skill.
Yes. Thank you.
And I think we in the wedding industry have, because we're constantly exposed to it. Mm-hmm. But for some people, like, it's just a totally foreign thing. Again, that thing of like, you're crying? That's weird. We see crying every weekend when we're in the wedding industry.
True. Yeah. So in conclusion, the unpopular opinion here, you know, is that ceremony rehearsals, by the way, these are called ceremony rehearsals, are totally, totally necessary and important. And they don't have to be shitty. They can be fun. They can be quick and to the point, and then you can be on your merry way to go have some food and drinks and enjoy the rest of the evening before you get married.
Yep. And to me, that's the takeaway here, is people are rightly reacting against how rehearsals suck. I will put up my hand and say, absolutely, we're on the same page there. But when your conclusion that you draw from that fact is therefore don't have one, how did that happen? Again, we don't do that with dinner. We don't do that with like our system of government. Yeah, it sucks. Let's make it better, for goodness sake. Let's fix it, not completely dispense with it. And so a rehearsal just makes your wedding. I mean, you put so much effort into people being comfortable on the wedding day, your guests, you buy gifts for your wedding party, etc. Why would you not do at least this very minimal thing? Like, you know, as we said, 45 minutes at the most, get people some food, some drinks, you start the party, you kick it off. You can, you know, it's 24 hours or so, 30 with a killer dance, from rehearsal to end of the wedding day. And that it's just a great way to make that happen.
There you go. From an officiant and a wedding planner.
Amen to that.
All righty. That wraps this episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. And, you know, feel free to reach out if you have any other unpopular wedding opinions that you would need addressed.
Because, you know, Michelle is trolling the socials looking for something she disagrees with.
Check out Mark Allen Grollo.
Nice.
Website unboringweddingacademy.com. But if you're interested in the Unboring Wedding Academy course for someone that you've asked to be your officiant, you want to actually go /big wedding because you get a discount for being a listener. In fact, just go to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, go to our partners page, and you'll see Mark there, Unboring Wedding Academy. And he's got an awesome discount just for listening to this podcast.
Well, and I teach there's 6 units, and one of them is in that course all about the rehearsal and everything we talked about here today, about how to make sure your officiant doesn't get there and shit the bed, basically.
Ooh. Oh, boy. That could be... No, never mind. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mark.
All right. It was a blast.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. You can get more wedding planning tips from the Big Wedding Planning Podcast YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join me and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. Have a wedding planning question or just want to get in touch? You can email me at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or my personal favorite, call and leave a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Love you. Love the show. Bye.